Good morning, friends. Good morning. Sorry for the delay. There was a couple of different things that happened. The band didn't have as much time to rehearse this morning, and then there were some technical difficulties. So I think all of that is sorted out, and we're going to begin with an Easter reading. This is John 20. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark, and she saw the stone already removed from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they've put him," thinking, of course, only of his dead body. So Peter and the other disciple left, and they were going to the tomb, and they were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter, and he came to the tomb first, and he stooped to look in, and he saw the linen wrappings that had been on Jesus' body lying there. However, he did not go in. So Simon Peter also came following him, and he entered the tomb, and he looked at the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head. And it was not lying with the linen wrappings, but was folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who we believe is John, who had first come to the tomb, entered then, and he saw, and he believed. And notice, he believes before he's understood. Notice what it says next. For they did not yet understand the scriptures, that he must rise from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes, but Mary Magdalene was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have put him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and yet she did not recognize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will take him away." But Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher or my teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them the things that he had said to her. Brothers and sisters, he is risen. Amen. Would you rise? And we're going to worship our Lord together this morning. Lord, we thank you that what you have done for us is something we could not do on our own. We could not do it without you, and it cost you greatly. And yet, like we have just sung, we are the beneficiaries of what you have done at great expense to yourself, at great cost. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you. And thank you that we have a weekend where we mark it in such a way that we say, this is about the death and resurrection of Jesus for me, for us. May it become personal once again today that you did it for us, you did it for me. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't have a seat. Please greet one another, make others feel welcome, and parents, there are activity bins over here for the kids. They will be staying in the service with us, so you've got a few minutes to say hello to your friends. Okay, friends, I'm going to ask you to return to your seats and pick up those good conversations at the close of the service. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We're here because we love you, and we're here because we want to love you more. We're here because we worship you, and we want to worship you more. Lord, would you make us the people who worship in spirit and in truth, not only with singing, but with opening the scriptures, with attending to the words that you are speaking, with treasuring them, with seeking you, with coming with a heart that says, I'm ready for more, Lord. Lord, I thank you that at Easter we are reminded that you pull out all the stops, that you express your love to the fullest extent possible. Greater love has no one than this, than that he lay down his life for another. You have laid down your life for us. May we respond in kind with the response that you desire, coming with gratitude and saying, Lord, we love you. Thank you for what you've done. We could never repay it, but we will spend the rest of this life and eternity making sure you receive our gratitude and our worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Just one announcement, and then we'll get into the scriptures. There's Dream Center worship this coming Friday. So this Friday night, come back here. It won't be our band that hosts it. I believe it's usually Crossroads people that do it. It's always a wonderful time, just a couple hours to worship the Lord. And there will be a commencement that goes as part of this. So at least one of the guys from the Dream Center who has finished the program will receive his certificate and his dog tags and our applause and our support and prayer, and usually they share a little bit of their story as well. So come for that. Come for the commencement. Come for the worship. The Lord always meets us in this time. Okay, Silas, I'm going to invite you to come on up. And could you make sure Silas knows that you appreciate him reading? This maybe a little bit of parental pull here to say, I'd like you to do the scripture reading, buddy, but I ask because you did a good job. This is the same scripture that he read on Friday at the Good Friday service, so would you take it away for us?
Simon Peter followed Jesus, as did another of the disciples. That other disciple was acquainted with the high priest, so he was allowed to enter the high priest courtyard with Jesus. Peter had to stay outside the gate. Then the disciple who knew the high priest spoke to the woman watching at the gate, and she let Peter in. The woman asked Peter, "You're not one of that man's disciples, are you?" "No," he said, "I am not." Because it was cold, the household servants and the guards had made a charcoal fire. They stood around warming themselves, and Peter stood with them warming himself. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was standing by the fire warming himself. They asked him again, "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it, saying, "No, I am not." But one of the household slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Didn't I see you out there at the olive grove with Jesus?" Again, Peter denied it, and immediately a rooster crowed.
Well done. Well done, buddy. I know that the young don't always understand it, but I know that those who are a little older actually appreciate it when they are a part of the service. And so, thanks, buddy. You encourage people when you do that. Would you go to John, please? To the end of the book of John. On Good Friday, if you were here, you might remember that I told you a story about a young boy who had been playing with a BB gun in his neighborhood and decided that he would aim that BB gun and pull the trigger at his neighbor's front window. And the front window shattered, and the neighbor ran out and saw who had done it. And then the little boy went home, waited for judgment to fall, and nothing happened. Nothing happened the next day or the day after that. And one day, he would see his neighbor who's window he had shattered walking in the street, and he'd run away from him before he could get him. But one time, he didn't realize who was behind him, and the neighbor came up to him and said, "David, hi," and grabbed him by the arm. And he said, "David, you've been running away from me every time because of what you did. You broke my window, but I want you to know what I've done. I called the glass company. They came and they replaced the window. I paid for it. It's taken care of. I want you to shake my hand and be my friend." And David said, "No." And the neighbor said again, "David, we can't go on living like this. You and I have to live in this neighborhood together. You can't be out here playing with your friends because every time you see me, you run away. And you want to play ball next to my house, and you can't do that because you see me out there mowing the lawn. David, it's okay. I've paid for it. It's taken care of. Now I want you to shake my hand and be my friend." And the second time, David shook his hand, and they became friends. David would help him with his lawn. David would run over and carry his briefcase when he saw him walking home from work. All because a man paid the price and not only repaired what was broken, but repaired the relationship as well. And that's what we celebrate at Easter, that God repaired something that was broken on the cross. And that is Good Friday. And it cost Jesus his life to repair what was broken. But there's still a relationship that needs to be mended between God and people, and then even with between Jesus himself and his disciples. And that's where we're going today. So as much as Peter denied Jesus, Jesus wasn't going to leave it there. And as much as Jesus made it possible and extends forgiveness on Good Friday, there's more that needs to happen on Resurrection Sunday. So please go to John 21. We're going to look at verses 14 and following. This is the third time that Jesus revealed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. They'd had breakfast. And after breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter replied, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." Then Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Now Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." This is the word of the Lord. There is good news here to give thanks for, friends. See, forgiveness happened on Friday, but reconciliation happens after that. And we so badly need that. Forgiveness happens on Friday, right? The window was replaced. It's paid for. But it's time to shake hands again with God, friends. It's time to shake hands with one another. Because Jesus is not just raised to new life, he is raised to reconciliation. Jesus doesn't just offer us eternal life on Resurrection Sunday, he offers us reconciliation. And it's reconciliation with both God and with one another. Would you notice in chapter 20, look at verse 17. Jesus says to Mary Magdalene, "Go and give good news to my," do you see what it says? "Go and give good news to my," not my disciples, "to my brothers." And so as we see Jesus engaging with Peter in, "Do you love me? Tend my sheep," undoing the denials, because of course Peter denied Jesus three times. And so Jesus now gives Peter three times to reaffirm his commitment and love to Jesus. We see that this is both an interaction where God is reconciled with people, Jesus being God, now reconciles with Peter. So God and humanity are being reconciled in this moment. But humanity here is called the brother. Jesus is reconciling with a brother. So as we then step out and continue on in this passage and talk about reconciliation, we are at the same time talking about reconciling with God and people reconciling with one another, because both are going on in this interaction. Do you follow that? A few nods? Yes? Good? Okay, makes sense. Jesus is reconciling with a brother. We need to be reconciled with one another as well. And it's possible because of what Jesus has done. As I said, this was the third time that Peter and Jesus had been in the same room, so to speak. This is the third of Jesus' appearances after the resurrection to the disciples. Now, we might at some point cover those other ones where Jesus appears to the disciples in the upper room, Thomas isn't there, and so he appears to them again a second time and says, hey, Thomas, you know, touch the nail marks and so on. So this is now the third time, and they're on a beach. And Jesus has just performed another miracle and given them a miraculous catch. And they come in, they have breakfast, they eat some of what the disciples had actually caught, and then Jesus engages Peter. It's really interesting. They didn't have the reconciliation conversation immediately. This is the third time that Peter has engaged with Jesus. And for some reason, it's at this point that Jesus recognizes that now is the time to repair the relationship and where Peter had gone wrong in denying Jesus. I'm not sure what to make of that, except that there's some timing there we want to pay attention to. What I do think we can make quite a bit of is that Jesus does not practice false peace. False peace is the let's pretend this never happened. Jesus doesn't do that. We practice that so often with each other, friends. We practice it with God. We practice it with one another. Where something is off and we don't address it. And then when we don't address it, it just sits there and it's in the way and it becomes a barrier. And Jesus did not practice false peace. Let's become uncomfortable with false peace. One of the things, I'm sure it's from your school. I have heard Chantel multiple times say to our kids, you can do hard things. We can do hard things. We can enter into those conversations about, you know, I feel like there's something awkward here that needs to be addressed. We can do it. You can do hard things. I would encourage us to do that, both with God and with one another. Secondly, notice that reconciliation is a process at times. Let's be clear, though. Forgiveness is not a process. Forgiveness is, I release you from all harm done. It's just letting go. It's just dropping, right? I release you from all harm done. I no longer hold it against you. That's forgiveness. But forgiveness and reconciliation are different. Reconciliation is a process we enter into, and sometimes it requires addressing what's happened. Sometimes it involves rebuilding trust. Sometimes it involves apologies, etc., etc. Whatever it is, reconciliation can be a process. Forgiveness is not a process. Forgiveness was dealt with on Friday, but Jesus enters into the process of a conversation with Peter. It's worth having. I really want you to see this next point in Scripture. So if you have your Bible, please do look at this one. Would you look at chapter 21 and verse 17? I will actually wait for you to flip there. Scroll there, whatever. Chapter 21, verse 17. It is an odd little detail that is worth noticing. Chapter 21, verse 17 says, Peter was hurt. Did Jesus do anything wrong? This is the third time that Jesus has asked Peter, do you love me? And Peter was hurt. Did God do something wrong? Now look at whether this is God reconciling with a person and that person gets hurt in the process, or whether you look at it as a brother, Jesus the brother, reconciling with Peter, his brother. So person to person, human to human, reconciliation. It sometimes involves hurt, and that's okay. We can do hard things even when it hurts. And it's not wrong if it does hurt someone. Someone getting hurt doesn't automatically mean that the person who hurt them is in the wrong. We sometimes assume that in our relationships. Well, I got hurt. I got offended. That person must be wrong. Not necessarily. Notice that the hurt was actually needed for the full reconciliation. At least the step of Peter getting hurt was needed to get to that third and final, you know that I love you. It was important for Jesus to take that step, even knowing Peter would get hurt. Reconciliation, repairing the relationship, is worth the pain. You can do hard things. I can do hard things. We can go there. There's this verse in Scripture, the Apostle Paul writes it, but he says that God has, having reconciled us to himself, God having reconciled humanity to himself, he has then given us the ministry of reconciliation. Before Peter could receive the ministry of helping others to reconcile with God, Peter had to go through this process. If we are going to be people who are going to help others reconcile with God, we're going to need to make sure that we are in good relationship with each other and with God. Let's not let fractured or strained relationships get in the way of ministry. The spiritual well-being of those who don't know God or don't know God as well as they need to and need our help in the process of getting to know God more, let's not get in the way of that happening because our relationships aren't currently what they should be, either with God or with one another. Let's do hard things, not only for ourselves, but for the sake of those who need to know God and need to know God more. You've heard me quote this before. Someone said, two introverts sitting side by side will never meet. Right? Someone has to put on the extroverted, take that extroverted risky move and say, hi, I am Ben. Nice to meet you. Two people who need reconciliation that choose false peace will forever get stuck. And there will then be a barrier to ministry. There will be a barrier to our relationship with God. Let's not do that. We are called to be peacemakers, not peacekeepers, especially not false peacekeepers. And I think sometimes this has become part of Unity's DNA. That we choose unity as quickly as possible, sometimes at the expense of the difficult conversations that actually help us work towards healing and reconciliation. It's not true unity, though, if there's false peace. Let me tell you a story. This is a true story. It happened during the American Revolution. A man by the name of Peter Miller was a German Reformed pastor in the States during the American Revolution. So this is 1700s we're talking about. German Reformed pastor at some point in his ministry decides the Baptists actually have a better thing going and, you know, in a sense, transitions from being German Reformed to being a Baptist. And what happens in that process is that he develops an enemy at his old church. One of the deacons, no less, at the German Reformed Church, a man by the name of Michael Whitman, became his outspoken enemy. So every time Pastor Peter Miller would be out and about, he was always at risk of this guy verbally abusing him. And in fact, there are accounts where Michael Whitman spit in his face at one point. At another point, he slapped him in the face. He was apparently quite a mocker and would just call him out all of the time. He was verbally abusive. He was physically abusive. And Pastor Peter Miller never responded with a negative word or action to Michael Whitman. This went on for some time, apparently. However, Michael Whitman, I guess, had something of a loose tongue, and one time he was actually caught out in public speaking against the American Revolution and speaking in favor of the British, you know, the enemies. And two men from the American army overheard Michael Whitman speaking out, and they arrested him for treason. And the punishment for treason, he was actually tried by George Washington, found guilty of treason, and sentenced to be hung. Peter Miller, Pastor Peter Miller, hears that his enemy, who has assaulted him and mocked him for all of this time, walks 60 miles to go see George Washington, who's actually a personal friend of his. And he gets to George Washington, meets his friend, and pleads for the life of Michael Whitman. And George Washington's response to him is, "I cannot grant you the life of your friend." And Peter Miller says, "My friend? This is my worst enemy." And Washington says, "That changes things. I will grant you his pardon." He writes out the pardon, hands it to Peter Miller, who then has to go another 15 miles where the execution is to take place. And he shows up just in time for the execution itself. And Michael Whitman sees him coming and starts yelling at him and saying, "Oh, my enemy is here to see that he gets his revenge." And Pastor Peter Miller waives the pardon, stops the execution, and they walk home together as friends. Like Peter Miller, Jesus suffered at our hands. Like Peter Miller, he walked a long and hard road for the sake of his enemies. And then he went the extra mile to be reconciled as friends. Will we do the same? Let's pray. Lord, we're going to take a moment and invite you to speak. Lord, would you guide us in this time that we might be right with you, the one who has gone the distance and paid the price, and that because you have done that, we might also then go the distance to be right with others. We offer you this space and this time to speak. Maybe just continue with your eyes closed here for a moment while I move into prayer. We can all be guilty of maintaining false peace, myself included. If we have false peace because of a prophetic word recently shared, could we agree that we're going to do hard work, we can do hard things, and have a good conversation? Can we agree that Jesus' priority on Resurrection Sunday is the restoration of relationships? Let's pray. Lord, would you make us people who grow in love for the people that you love? How will we ever love our enemies if we don't first love our brothers. Lord, would you grow us in this? We all have so far to go, myself included, in learning to love. Would you make us people who love well? Would you make us people who, with Peter, receive that commission to tend to the sheep, to look after your sheep? Would you give us once again the heart to hear your heart for your sheep? Lord, I pray that we would hear John's words to love the brothers and the sisters well. Because how can we love God, whom we have not seen, if we do not love our brothers and sisters whom we have seen? Lord, would you make us people who will learn that we can do hard things with you, and that we'll be okay, and that you are highly motivated to be working against false peace for the sake of reconciliation. Lord, would you make us people who embrace the resurrection, not simply the resurrection to eternal life someday, but to abundant life here and now with you and with one another. You have gone so far for us. May we spend our lives saying thank you by the way that we engage with those sheep that are yours, that you love. Grant us your heart and your courage and your peace. That before a single disciple apologizes, you speak peace. I speak peace. May I embody it, Lord. May we make us people who live the gospel, Lord. Who live your good news. May we show Jesus this kind of love. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll invite the band back up. Someone told me after I had given that prophetic word that I didn't speak with enough grace. And if I didn't, I apologize. Two introverts sitting side by side will never meet. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you abundant peace that we may do hard things and be okay. Blessings on your Easter, my friends. Thanks for being here.